Hey folks, welcome back to another podcast. In this podcast, we have an amazing speaker, a founder of an AI tech company. He comes from an enormous years of experience as a product manager, a university professor, an AI ML consultant for various startups, and a researcher. Since 2021, he has been a leading AI instructor and a teacher in the space of Gen AI, LLMs, training of the trainers. He has worked with companies like Fourthbrain, DeepLearning.ai. He has worked with Andrew Sir. So it is an honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Greg Lugnane. In this whole conversation, we had an amazing discussion on how EdTech is evolving, how AI EdTech is growing, how he plans to be ahead of everything, what is his niche, how he is planning to, you know, create different cohorts that will kind of benefit him on a longer run, his company on a longer run. It was a really interesting conversation, a very different approach. A very specialized audience or a very niche audience. I really loved the concept of what he's trying to create. I hope even you guys do love it and take something back from it. He's also launching his own LLM course, which will be out on 16th of August. That is one day from here. It is on LLM in production. So basically LLM ops, how to deploy large language models. Very exhaustive, very specialized course. Even it's not like, you know, you go and pay and you get the access to the course. There's a huge screening process where they see whether you're ready for it. And they're trying to create a very small, close-knitted cohort where each one person pushes another person and there is good peer-to-peer learning. I really like the concept of the startup. I really like the content of the course. Do check it out. The link's in the description. So without wasting a further ado, it's time to get started. Therefore, you're listening to another episode of So how was your day? Pretty much. Like, is it the morning over there?
Yeah, it's 10:30 in the morning, Sunday. It's been solid so far, you know. Just got back into town and had kind of a solid Saturday yesterday. There's a lot to do with the upcoming course launch, and so, you know, it's exciting. So I'm kind of like waking up, like, do we have more students? Do we have more students? And so pretty much, we do. So it's fun times.
Pretty much checking on the, you know, the all the people who have subscribed to the course. You know, is it increasing? How much is it? Oh, that's nice. That's crazy. So that's have you you know, already come down to the course? So tell me about your journey onto about you, like, you know, in the education space, because this is a very cluttered market, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, you know, really, I live in Dayton, Ohio now. Came of age in Dayton, Ohio at 18 years old. And it's a city that's built around an Air Force base. So what that means is that there's really only one game in town, and it's to work for defense contractors. It's to work for the Air Force. And there's a really big research lab on the base. It's $1 billion a year research lab. It's called the Air Force Research Labs. It's one of the biggest in the entire world. So I got really good at sort of studying and learning and going to grad school and all this stuff because of the Air Force Research Labs. But I realized I really didn't like doing research all that much. You know, I really didn't like writing papers. I really didn't like just talking about things, getting millions of dollars to never really build anything. But the thing I did like about academia is I really liked teaching. And that's one of the things that kind of stuck with me all throughout. As I kind of went on with my career, I went from defense contracting to working for startups. That was sort of a, you know, coaching the C-level people about machine learning and AI strategically. But that kind of got bored, kind of a little boring when I had to always throw stuff over the fence as a consultant, and maybe the engineering team would use it, maybe they wouldn't, and most of the time they wouldn't. And that kind of made me want to get more into sort of product management and thinking a little bit more about how to actually go and commit to something and actually like be on the product and watch it evolve and watch it grow. Did that for a little while and realized like that was cool, but it wasn't perfect for me. It wasn't exactly what I was looking for. All the while I'm teaching since about 2011. And then I realized when COVID came about, you know, I could really combine these interests of mine, teaching and product management, in this idea of an online course. Because what is the difference between an online course and a digital product? And the answer is, well, you know, nothing really. Except maybe the online course is not infinitely scalable like a digital product is with no humans. And at least when you're actually teaching it live. And so when COVID came, I got really, really into the online teaching and learning thing. I started really going, I said I was all in on online learning. And I started to see what the successful communities that were getting built looked like. I started to see sort of the things that didn't work and the business models that were getting funded and how those had issues. Started to look at how venture capital was looking at the space and kind of learned a lot, especially after I got to San Francisco, started working for Fourth Brain, starting to getting to interact with deep learning AI, Andrew Ng and the whole team there. And that was really formative for me. And ultimately, it led me to realize that, hey, I'm really driven to kind of create something that's a little bit different, a little outside of the current paradigm, and a little more focused on slow growth rather than venture capital backed growth, and a little more really, really dialed into trying to compete with what I believe the university has above everybody else, which is the social context. You go to university, you meet people. Some of them become your very best friends for the rest of your life. Okay. What class have you ever been in outside of a university that's done that? Very few, but you know, that's one of the things that we hope to try to instantiate and build at AI Makerspace. So that's what I'm doing now, is trying to build community and courses at the leading edge for people that are really, really all about it.
So pretty much you answered my next question as well, which was about AI Makerspace. So if I have to, you know, summarize it up, it is, it's just a great vision. One is like, you know, pretty much trying to build a whole community around it where, or pretty much you want to take the whole thing online or the whole community online and create that support system. Even community is a kind of a support system where like, you know, how friends learn from each other, how friends push each other towards, you know, achieving something, or, you know, how you do fun in the university. And that's how it create bond. So that is something that you're trying to do. So that kind of interests me on is this course kind of a group kind of an event, is something that we are looking forward to, or like, you know, how do you plan to do it?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's this idea in the education online ed tech space that, you know, that I really like and it's this idea of destination groups and journey groups, and everybody has sort of people they're traveling with along a certain road, things they want to learn, things they want to do. And then they're looking at people who have already been where they want to go. Those are sort of the destination group people. So maybe, you know, the people who you really strive to be like. And I think that in any learning context, you have to make sure that people are positioned relative to their destination groups, their aims, who are they aiming to be like, as well as who are they traveling with. And so one of the ways that we're going about this is, of course, as we get started, it's hard to kind of differentiate. But, you know, one of the ways that you can kind of put people out there and say, well, this is how you could be if you keep working, you know, keep working hard towards your goal, is, you know, we have some really amazing instructors. We have Chris Alexiak and Ali Kadim, and they really have been working with me over the past few years, learning on their own, building their own brands, becoming experts in their own right in generative AI and LLMs and all of this. And then we've also got, we're lucky to have a peer supporter as well that we've got in our first cohort. And I imagine we're going to grow the peer supporter community. But that's someone that we've taught before. His name's Juan Alano. And so he sort of serves as this intermediate sort of destination, you know, along the path, okay, to maybe being more like the instructors there for the students. And I think this is one way to look at it. It's one way to slice it up. But, you know, how do you actually build community in such a way that's really engaging, in such a way that's really, you know, people are really into and want to spend time on and want to be that give first person within the community? This is the alchemy of the online community. And I think the number one way to screw this up is to just let everybody in, actually. So yeah. If you just let everybody in, they have different aims, they have different goals, they have different backgrounds, different prerequisites. They're not all in there for the same reason, trying to learn the same thing. So the big thing with our course and with our community as we start is it's for very advanced users. It's for people that are not only advanced in their skill set, but very advanced in their understanding of why they want to do this next. So they know why they're here. They know that they're ready to get after it now, you know, and if it's not now, maybe it's a future cohort. But this idea of getting all the right people in the room, so you're not teaching to beginners and advanced alike, you're forced to split the middle like they do in university and like they do in so many cohort-based courses. Nobody likes teaching to the average. Nobody likes learning where you're in this like mixed group of learners. And so what we want to do is we want to really make it focused on, okay, you're here for the right reasons. You want to learn this. You have the right prerequisites. You're very, very motivated individually. And then you're going to be able to help others as well. So it's a really hard thing to kind of find all people like this, but we've been slowly building our own personal brands over the last couple of years in an effort to sort of look forward to this. And now we're sort of ready to roll it out. And it seems like so far it's working.
So pretty much the prerequisite itself is so high that, you know, either once you go through it, you know, you are ready or you're not.
Yeah. I mean, and you're basically going to provide your GitHub. You're going to answer a few questions. It's a very high friction enrollment process. And a lot of people don't make it through. Of the people that make it through, maybe 40 to 50% are actually being accepted. And a lot of people, you know, they're from areas of the world that maybe $1,000 for a course is way over the top. So we're trying to find, you know, ways to potentially bring them into the fold in the future as well in ways that can be profitable for the company. But, you know, for now, I think the prerequisites are there. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like I always say, like, if you want to keep up with AI, that's your goal. You know, you picked the hardest game in town. You picked the hardest game on the internet. You have to learn faster than the machines. And if you think it's going to get easier from here, you're out of your mind. So, like, you know, the 21st century is going to be a wild, wild west of people who are out there on the leading edge. And we want to help be a part of the, you know, that community of practitioners. And we want to help them get where they're trying to go a little bit faster. We've got some sort of experts that like to do that, that are in our community now. And we want to grow that body of experts. And we want to give people the stories so that they have their destination groups that they keep looking at and say, wow, that person can do it. You know, it doesn't take long these days. You work at the right level of abstraction. You pick up the right tools in just a couple of weeks, in just a month, if you have the right prereqs, man, you can be on that bleeding edge. And people don't realize this. You don't need that PhD. You don't need that master's degree. You don't need any of that. All you need is like the ability to get after it and, you know some really basic programming stuff in Python, know some basic machine learning concepts, and man, you can be rocking and rolling in no time.
Pretty much. Like, I totally resonate with the idea of, you know, having the right skill set, to be honest. Like, even I feel that, you know, the whole industry is moving towards whether you can solve that problem or not. It doesn't really matter if you have an XYZ PhD or if you have the XYZ master's from this college. Pretty much, right. If you can solve it, then, you know, come join me and solve it.
That's right.
And one more thing is, I really like that you touched upon one thing. I you know, there's something which is different. I saw is, you know, the screening that is done just to make sure that, you know, you're ready. And second is, the amount, which kind of also acts as a barrier, and also the screening process. So, like, you know, I was just reading about one more person who hires in a company. He does very similarly. He's a very famous YouTuber. But so what he does is, he asks really relevant questions, but the form is so long that, you know, half of the people who are not, who just came here for the sake of applying, won't even apply. So the people who are interested, they apply, they, you know, they fill the form, and then there is the screening process saying that, okay, this is the one which I want to go forward with. So, you know, you already filter out, and that kind of, you know, adds on to you making a very strong community, because all the people who really want to learn will do that, you know, extra effort, which is very tedious. No one wants to do it. Even the people filling it won't want to do it, but they still do it.
Yeah, and
So
it's like you know, it reminds me of entrepreneurial school. So you go to school for entrepreneurship. It's like, what are you really doing the whole time? It's like, yeah, you listen to some lectures or whatever, but you're basically writing about yourself and about what you want the whole time. And like, that's it. You know, that's really, it's like, what do you really want? What do you want at the end of your career? What do you want your business to look like? You know, write it down, work on it, think about it, do it. And really what you're seeing is you're seeing this sort of this creator economy idea, this sort of passive income streams idea, this sort of intrapreneurial idea, even within large companies. You're seeing this sort of explosion of sort of entrepreneurial thinking that's required to be out there on the leading edge of this technology. And so you're kind of testing that a little bit more than anything else. It's like, are you truly trying to be the leader in this at your company now, at your next company? Are you trying to build something that's a passion project? Are you trying to build a startup? What are you trying to do exactly? And like, convince me that that's real, you know? And most of the time, most people are going to say, I don't know. I just want a job that has that sexy title and that makes me 150K a year. It's like, well, that's great, but we can't help you. You know, like, you're going to have to get a lot more specific about what you want in order to get into our particular community. And the boot camp industry in general has been quick to try to just help as many of those people that aren't really sure what they want. But the problem is when you're not sure what you want, you're not going to work very hard to get it. In fact, you're not going to work hard to get it at all. And so this is one of the key things that I think every hiring manager out there that's been hiring for a long time has seen. And, you know, we've certainly seen as we try to do teaching and learning over the past number of years in this space.
That's interesting because there's something even I share it with someone, you know, who wants to get into the AI space, saying that it is rich with money, it is rich with jobs. I know I say the same thing. You know, you can earn your $1 million or how much ever amount any other job. There is someone in the industry who is doing that,
Yeah,
not being
yes.
in this space. So it totally depends on what do you really want to do.
I mean, it's not a bad reason to start
Yeah,
paying
for sure.
attention to it, you know, and I think, like, so there is a bit of a gold rush thing. And so, you know, a lot of times I'll meet people to say, you know, hey, I'm looking for a job, or they're at a conference, or, you know, and it's like, well, why do you want to get into the space? You know, and they're like, well, I mean, it seems like it's the place to be, you know, yeah, but why do you want to get into the space, right? And if you probe deep enough, you'll eventually get them to be like, well, I don't know, actually. I've never actually thought about that. And it's like, well, okay. Well, you know, I think you should start thinking about that a little bit more deeply, because when you have a compelling answer to that question, all of a sudden your story that you tell people becomes much more interesting, one, and it becomes much more pointed as to what you should do next. So it's a good entry point, and it's necessary. So a lot of people that maybe start our application but don't finish it, I think there are a lot of ways to engage them in the future to give them the appropriate level of resources to get them thinking and get them aligned down the path. And as we give them stories of people who are achieving things that are great, that were aligned when they've started, I mean, I think you can get a lot of people there. But, you know, you can't get them there in 4 weeks. You know what I mean? It's not a boot camp style thing. It's like, you've got a lot of thinking left to do. You've got a lot of sleeping on it, a lot of dreaming about it, a lot of talking to people to still yet to do. And, you know, it's amazing, because you'll see 17-year-olds that like know exactly what they want. They're exactly ready to get after it. And then they can write it down and they can tell you about it. And it's like, wow, like, that's compelling. And, you know, and then you'll see people 55 years old that have been, you know, a scientist for 30 years, and they're still not quite ready to pick up those engineering tools and stop doing science all the time. But they're worried. They're worried if they don't, you know, then they're going to lose their job at some point in the next 5 years. And the thing is, like, worry And fear is a good initial thing for you to start paying attention to this stuff. But eventually you got to go beyond that and you have to say, okay, no, like I'm aiming at something that I believe is going to make things better for myself, for my family, for my company, for my community, for the world. And then, you know, start building. And once you start building, you can tell people the story of how you're building. And once you tell people that story, man, they'll be like, I love this person. I got to get this person on my team building for me. You know, even if all you tell them is, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, I ran into this, and all of a sudden I couldn't hit this API, and then this is what I did to overcome that. You're telling that to a hiring manager. All of a sudden, boom, you instantly are emanating competence at the bleeding edge, and you didn't even realize it. All you're doing is talking about problems that you're having. So I think it's a, you know, I see people succeeding all the time, and it's great. And that's why, you know, we all are in this business and we love it. It's not because we're all going to get, you know, filthy rich one day doing it. That's not why you choose education, but it's really, really meaningful work to kind of be a part of people's journeys like that.
So I was about to ask you that, but you have been a teacher for a really long time, you know, you did teaching and you kind of moved out, you started your own business, then you came back to teaching. And now you're this AI maker space is into teaching. So, but before coming onto this, like as you said about, you know, the 17-year-old, I know a couple of prodigies who are in 17-year-old who have worked for NASA and SpaceX right now, like, you know, freaking incredible. And then there are 55-year-old. So this is slightly off topic, but I just want to understand your point of view on this, saying that, you know, the 55-year-old has a lot of responsibilities and has a very less risk-taking capacity. You know, the way the time he started his career, there were very less opportunities. Right now, again, it's a very different, you can throw your thoughts on it. Now, the 17-year-old has a lot of things to choose on for. He's not, you know, working for survival. He's working for his, you know, or also needs. He's just working on what he wants to do. So, does that bring a lot more clarity? Is that what you think can be the reason, or what exactly is it?
Well, I actually think there's a lot more clarity for the people who have been working in a specific field for a long time, because immediately, you know, if you talk to these people, they don't necessarily know this or they are able to articulate it. But if you've been working in, say, bioinformatics for 20 years, it's like, well, what should you apply AI to today? Because the data-centric idea of it's not the models, it's the data. It's you're going to be an expert on the data. It doesn't go anywhere. Like just because we got LLMs, just because we got generative AI, it's still about the data. It's still about the domain of practice and your expertise. If you already have domain of practice and an expertise, then it's really easy. It's like start there now. What are you working on that would be cool to work on with an LLM, with generative AI, with something that's new and at the edge? And since you've already got that expertise, you're in a much smaller playground, a much smaller box. And a lot of times 17-year-olds, you've got to do a passion project, something that you think is cool, right? Because you've never even really worked anywhere that, especially somewhere that you really loved, or somewhere that you've worked on long enough that you have some domain of practice you identify with. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot more possibility, but it's kind of like the, you know, it's kind of like the idea that, yeah, you could be anything, but you're not anything, right? Whereas if you've got that experience, you've got that expertise, it's like you literally are something already. And so the question is, how do I augment this something that I am with a tool rather than I'm trying to figure out the tools and I'm trying to figure out who I am, what I do, what I'm all about at the same time? So the task is much, much easier for the experienced practitioner. Yeah. And if they have sort of adopted the mindset, which is the biggest thing for them, that it's no longer what it once was in today's world, like you're not going to keep that job for the next 20 years just because, you know, you're going to keep that job. is by learning all of the new latest state of the art everything. And that's it. And so the people that are 55, they wanted to, you know, leave at 65. They wanted to retire. They don't just get to phone it in and just slide down into 65. It's like, no, you're going to be gone at 57, 58, 60. If you don't really work hard to get after it like that, these are not federal government jobs. That's the only place that anybody's safe anymore. And, you know, even then, you know, you have to actually be a government employee, because these defense contractors are doing the same thing, you know, and it's like there is no safe anymore. People need to stop looking for it. And AI is just reminding everyone of that. So the people who are quick to accept that, whatever age they are, those are the ones that are going to have the easier time, in my opinion. And that's what I've seen.
So pretty much to sum it up, it's more like, you know, if you don't upgrade yourself, either the AI or the person using AI will take your job.
It's something like that. Yeah. It's like, if you don't stay on that continuous learning path, the machines are learning.
Yeah.
And you're not, you think that's a good strategy? You know, is that what you'd recommend for your kid, for your little brother, for your little sister? Is that what you'd recommend for your family? I can't see that most people would ever recommend that, you know. I don't care what domain you are in. I don't care if it's politics or banking or, you know, oceanography or, you know, selling surfboards. It's like, it doesn't really matter. There are tools that are going to be able to help you out. And if you're not picking those up, the people who are picking those up, they're going to outcompete you in the market. That's just the reality.
So coming back to our question, which was, you come from a really huge experience of teaching. And one of the biggest challenge with right now AI is that it is evolving so fast. And even the universities or the online courses, which were, let's say, a year ago, are right now irrelevant, or not irrelevant, but kind of obsolete. Saying that, you know, there's new thing coming up every single day. How do you plan to, you know, be up to date and provide the best? Because it's all about, you know, if, let's say, you know, there's ChatGPT-5 coming out. So who's the first one who releases that? So people will be coming on. So this from the business point of view, as well as, let's say, you know, you want to give it back to the community as fast as possible, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do you plan to be relevant on this?
Yeah, such a good question. And this is part of the secret sauce, I guess. And it's not so secret. Like, I'll tell everybody. It's really hard to actually implement. You know, we've got couple people on the team at AI Makerspace, Chris and Ali in particular, and their job essentially, and they've been trained as instructors, they're great instructors, but their job essentially is to be building all the time. It's not just their job, it's their passion, it's what they love to do. So it's been a long time since I coded all day long, you know, and that's not my forte. Can I hack things together? Sure. Is that going to keep me at that state of the art of building all this stuff? No. It's like you need somebody that's literally every single day obsessing over what's the newest, building with it, what's the newest, building with it, sort of forever, right? And there are people out there that do this. Now, where do you find them? Well, it's really hard. I'm not going to lie. I've trained quite a number of instructors. I've met a lot of people. And, you know, when you push people to do that, most of them burn out. Okay. But a few of them thrive on it. These are like the insane people that you need out there a little bit. And part of what we're trying to do here is we're trying to not only encourage people like Chris and Ali to keep going, but we're trying to find the other folks that are already doing this. So these are the folks that you're like, tell me about a side project you've been a part of. You know, an open source project you've been a part of that you, because open source, remember, always leads closed source in software, always, because fundamentally it has to. You know, it's like it doesn't become closed source until it's kind of figured out and you can build a company and a business model around it and you can streamline it and get rid of a lot of the friction. But the people who are always out there on the open source edge, they'll be able to tell you about any number of projects they've been contributing to late at night, deep into the wee hours of the morning, ever since they were 18, ever since they were 16 years old. And these people are the people that you need to sort of make sure that you're extracting their knowledge constantly. And you're like, I'm learning from them all the time, because part of my job is to communicate the concepts. And if I don't understand them in a super crystal clear way, there's no way I can communicate them. I'm just basically hand waving. And so learning from these folks, articulating and giving them the space to do what they do, and then to give them sort of the platform to get what they know out there in a way that's really digestible to a larger audience. That's sort of my job. So I'm sort of the filter between people who want to be there and people who are there, and getting more and more people of they are there together is part of what I'm trying to do with this community, and part of what we hope this community becomes is it's just a group of just builders that are out there on the leading edge all the time building. And we want them to not only build and ship, we want them to be sharing. And we constantly are obsessing over this, and we're trying to make it as easy as possible for them to share the great stuff that they're doing with the world, because that's not only going to build their brand personally, help them get where they're trying to go, but it's going to help us continue to grow our community and continue to provide those stories that everybody out there needs to see. That person was just like me 6 months ago. Now they're there. I want to follow that line. You talk to any educational institution in the world, look at their marketing materials, big university, they all know this. It's about the stories, man. And so getting those stories going by, you know, if you imagine, why did the colleges that used to be the premier colleges used to work so well, right? It's like, why did the Ivy League used to work so well? It's because they restricted enrollment, right? To like, are you actually one of the best of the best out there? Are you serious? Prove it. Otherwise, you're not in. And when they did that, it worked extremely well. And now they're not doing that anymore. There's all sorts of reasons to let people in. And when you just let people in carte blanche, or you let whoever was going to pay in, then all of a sudden you cannot any longer maintain that level of quality and maintain that sort of, you know, that success percentage of people that go there. And so you get the stories. But so I think that's part of it, is you want to get that small group that is doing what they need to do, and you want to catalyze other people to be like that. And the best way to do that is to find people that are already like that, but literally do not have the confidence to realize how great they are yet. And I think in our first cohort, we've got a number of those folks already. And I'm very, very excited to see what they do in the next 3, 6, 9 months. And I'm very excited to be able to start sharing for them out on LinkedIn, out on Twitter, you know, some of the great stuff that they're doing. And I really, really hope to see them sort of pick up that ball on their own and start growing their own personal audiences, start finding their own personal voice, building their own brand, developing their own passive streams of income, maybe teaching for us in the future as we try to grow. And then, you know, all of this stuff, it's going to be a slow burn. Again, not getting venture capital returns off this stuff. But if we do it right, it's the kind of thing that I think is going to gather momentum that in a number of years is going to be significant, substantial, and worth paying attention to.
Got it. So you're not going into the race of getting, you know, putting out all the promos, doing all the marketing material, and let a lot of people jump in. Basically, you're kind of creating a strong community step by step. So is it completely bootstrap, or is it VC funded right now?
It's completely bootstrapped, and there is no interest whatsoever in getting VC funding at all at this time. And, you know, nobody can tell the future, but the problem with VC funding, especially like forget VC funding when interest rates were zero, VC funding when interest rates are straight out of control is just, it's so, as they say, like the dirty secret of ed tech is that there is no tech in ed tech. Okay. And ed is a services business. The only things you can automate are things where you don't need a human to coach or help another human. And fundamentally, the only reason why people go to university, they go and they try to learn from other humans is they want that coaching feedback. You're not going to be able to automate this fully. You're going to be able to augment it if that's your domain of practice, and you should be doing that. However, you cannot replace that coaching, that human interaction, that perspective. And because of that, you cannot scale from 10 to infinity with any, it takes time to train people to teach. It takes time to get people to know the stuff. It takes time to build a new curriculum. It takes time to do absolutely every step of everything. And it's very time intensive, very labor intensive. It's not a VC backable business because they're never going to get the returns they want. The only, and even if you wanted to scale, super scale, you hit a point where I could capture much more of the market. Where are you going to find the instructors? Where are you going to find the people that can actually teach more of these classes? How are you going to productize the class so it's actually something that still feels like a genuine community? Like these are not trivial things. And these are very, very, you know, people imagine they can be done. But in my opinion, that's just not how it works. You've never seen a university super scale, right? It's like, because it's not a thing. Like, you could scale over time. And that's what we plan to do. And so if we ever take money, it'll likely be, you know, debt. It won't be venture.
It won't be on equity or something. Yeah.
And you know, to this point, I mean, the people that work in this space, they're different than the people who are more motivated to actually join a typical super scale startup. Because if you actually want to work with us, work for us, you're not doing that because you want to get super duper rich in 8 years. That's not it. Because why would you choose this? It's a tough gig. You know, it's very, very people intensive. It's very, very, there's a lot to do. And the thing is, like, the people who do this kind of work, they're fundamentally motivated by something greater than themselves, by, you know, impact, by meaning, by value delivered to others. They've felt that experience of changing the path for someone else before, and they've gotten hooked on it. And yeah, they want to make a good salary, and yeah, they want to, you know, maybe have some equity, and yeah, they want to maybe be able to cash out on some level one day. But if they don't make $5 million within 10 years, they want to have really thoroughly enjoyed a meaningful journey along the way. And that's the kind of place we're building at Makerspace.
Got it. So, but as you already said, that, you know, for building such kind of community, you need people. You need that requires time, which is, let's say, you know, you need people to build curriculum. You need people to build teach. You know, stuff. And again, this space is right now about being relevant at the same time. And from your career path right now, let's say, again, you know, we have Fourth Brain. I guess you were also a part of founders, pretty much onto the same space. And then there is AI Maker. So how do you handle a conflict of interest in such a case? Because you have your own company that will kind of give you money as well as will give you your own brand, will build a strong community. There are other people also trying to do something similar and want to be ahead of the race.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, Fourth Brain, I was essentially on the founding team the entire time I was there, and started out as an instructor, as a contractor consultant, and taught for them, eventually joined their team full time, kind of led their product department, which was essentially online bootcamp courses, and, you know, helped build out their machine learning engineering program, their ML ops program, their generative AI programs in 2023. And so Fourth Brain, I have nothing but great things to say about them. They've been a phenomenal place for me to learn and grow. And I told the CEO day one, I told her, I was like, you know, I want to be able to build companies like this in the future. And I believe this is the best possible place for me to learn how to do this. And, you know, I think part of what's been great is that we've been able to find the middle ground that works for everybody, where everybody's getting value from both sides. So, you know, I maintain my role as a consultant for them, a generative AI and educational consultant for them. And one of the things that's great about what we're doing at AI Makerspace is we're really, really focused on that very advanced individual, that really advanced user. And it's very, very hard to find these people. And when you find them, it's very, very hard to deliver curriculum to them. Because if you only build curriculum for super advanced people, if you let anybody else in, they're going to be extremely unhappy. Nobody wants to do things that are just 86 levels beyond them. Nobody wants to be a part of that. It's instantly demoralizing and discouraging. So what happens is, when we teach to the super advanced people, we can set up affiliate programs with folks like Fourth Brain to say, hey, we don't believe that you're exactly at the level that you should be at prior to joining a really, really intense 4-week bootcamp like ours. But we do recommend that you check out this bootcamp program from one of our affiliate partners, Fourth Brain. And we can really say for sure the curriculum's good, because we had we were instrumental in bringing it to market and building it. We know that if you took this program, you'd be ready for ours. And, you know, additionally, as well as, you know, so we've got a course on Maven. That's where our course is at. And there's lots of courses on Maven as well from other instructors. And so sometimes we'll get people that we believe aren't even ready for the course quite at Fourth Brain yet, but we can become affiliate partners again with another Maven course. And so what happens is, when you restrict properly, and you can actually fill seats, that's the hard part. You can actually fill seats, you know, butts and seats, as they say. Then what you can do is, you can say, well, everybody else that's not quite there yet, we recommend your best learning path is ABC, and everybody who's at this level, we recommend your best learning path is XYZ. And you can actually piece together the courses that people really should take to get where they're trying to go. And so, you know, we maintain that sort of relationship with Fourth Brain. And additionally, you know, as we continue to bootstrap, one of the big things as you're bootstrapping is, you know, it's very, very hard to figure out how to get enough revenue in to make everything run, right? This is the number one problem of every CEO, is they're bootstrapping. And so if there are opportunities from other folks to partner on things, that's something that we always are willing to consider, especially with Fourth Brain, but also with other companies in the space that may be seen as slightly competitive to what we're doing. But I think what we're doing is pretty well differentiated from an advanced user perspective. And one of the things, as you mentioned earlier, where, you know, what was advanced yesterday is beginner today. And, you know, LLM ops, when's it going to be obsolete, right? When's it going to be something that people aren't talking about? Well, maybe 6 months, maybe next year. But what we're going to keep doing is, we're going to keep pushing out there on the edge. That's our strategy. And that flies in the face of classical wisdom in the bootcamp space. And so we're not really concerned with, you know, people that, you know, aren't doing that, because we're fundamentally not competitive with them. And so there is no conflict of interest. Insofar as we can be useful to them in other ways, we can license courses that are a bit more mature, that, you know, maybe have a clear job title that you could get after, maybe have a clear salary range you could get after. You take our course, it's like, who knows what you're going to get? The people who are taking our course are way out there on the edge, and they like being out there. But, you know, as the industry matures, I think there's a lot of ways to continue to work with partners like Fourth Brain and other, you know, people trying to deliver similar products to similar audiences, because the learning path is different for everybody. And, you know, we basically just want to help people find what that learning path is for them. We don't just want to sell them a course that really won't help them get where they're trying to go. So affiliate partnership is the short answer.
Got it. So, but I you know, really resonate with one statement that you said, because, you know, because This is something that even I felt that we still organize sessions. So I'm a part of a community called the TensorFlow User Group Bangalore. It's a Google funded TensorFlow group, kind of to bring in the community around TensorFlow. So as soon as we go for specialized courses, again, it's a very niche market. You end up having 5 or maximum 10 people onto the whole event, and as soon as you go for a beginner course, you won't find those 10 people, but you'll find hundreds of people coming onto there. Because again, in those 10 people that you get, if you don't deliver, you claim it's advanced, but it is not, or it's an intermediate kind of a thing. Pretty much in the next one, you won't even find those five or 10, 5 or 10, because they already know a lot of stuff. They are there only for that one specific stuff. So it's a very challenging domain. It's very inspiring that you're catering to that domain, and that kind of also differentiates you from all the other companies pretty much, because majority, or I would say majority of them are kind of catering to the one where which has the biggest market. That kind of also makes your I'm just thinking out loud, that kind of also makes your price point bit high, because definitely you're dealing to the niche. You cannot deliver courses at $100 and say, oh, let all of them pump in, or let's say $50, let all of them pump in, because then that kind of pretty much kills the vision and the purpose. Interesting. Very, very interesting. I really like.
Well, and I think the key is that when, and maybe we can have a follow-up podcast in a year to see how it's going. But I think
Yeah, for sure.
the key is that the courses cannot be the sole source of revenue, because when that's the only channel, I mean, you can do the math very easy on courses, and you can't put 1,000 people in one course. It's going to suck. It's going to suck for everybody, instructors, students, everybody. And like, we're restricting our first cohort to 30 people. That's a good, everybody, study statistics. That's a good number, right? That's the number you, and I think, like, if you just do the math over the year, it's like, how are you going to get to some sort of great revenue number? It's like, well, you're not. But what can you do once you build up the supply of talented people in your community, right? And the thing is, like, people don't really know yet. There's not a whole lot of people that have done this. But let's say every single person in your community is unbelievably technically talented, relevant, on point. Okay. Every time I talk to any company in the world and I say, we're building up the supply of talent, so I'm just gonna have nothing but generative AI and LLM, just killer builders, right? They're gonna be able to build in one day what it takes your team 4 months, and they're gonna be able to do it better with a more refined stack. Would you like to talk to these people? Would you like to get in front of these people? Would you like to potentially hire one of these people? Would you like to potentially have them consult for you? Just maybe a one-day thing, see what they can build, right? This is the sort of unexplored space right now. And I think the interesting thing too, from the, I'm always keeping the individual and the user in mind of the community. Their interest is not necessarily to get a job. They're talented. They know they can get other jobs. They don't take jobs just because they need a job. That's not what most of these people are doing. However, in such a hyper maturing, crazy active space, the quickest maturing and most active space that's ever existed so far. Every time I ask them, well, are you interested in exploring what you might be worth in the market today? None of them say no. Everybody wants to sort of get that, even if I don't want a job, I kind of want to know, like, what I'm worth, And like, if I could get paid all day, every day to build only the most state-of-the-art stuff instead of the stuff I'm doing now, would I rather do that, even if it was the same pay? And the answer is, like, if you're one of these people, like, of course you would, right? Because that's going to fundamentally give you the competitive advantage that you're looking for, and it's going to, make you more of the open source power user and make you, more interesting in all your social channels that matter to you, whether it's Reddit or Twitter or whatever it is, whatever communities you engage in, people are going to find that cool and you're going to find value in that. And so, I think there's a lot of ways to explore different channels for revenue generation once the supply of folks in the community is built up. And I think that's where I'm most excited as we do a few cohorts of this and we have 100, 200 people in the community and they're engaging each week. They're still building, they're helping each other. They're creating value for one another. Can we actually help create even more value for them, even more value for their companies, even more value for companies out there in the market looking to hire people like them? I think the answer is yes. And I think that, as long as we maintain this sort of like, it's a real community, it's an actual community, but vibe, people do stuff and work together and talk to each other each week and build relationships, rather than we have a community, but it's an email list. And, we do DevRel, but it's just to get people, 5% of people, 1% of people in our email list to buy our product. That's not a community, but like we are trying to truly make it this place where people want to come. It's, come to the water cooler, come to the watering hole, hang out. And we'll see if we can do it. I'm not convinced it's going to be easy or everything's going to work out great or anything like that. But I do know that this is something that people want. And, I expect if we do it right, then, things will start working in ways we can't even imagine right now. I really believe that. And I really, as long as we keep our users, our learners, the things we love to do in mind, then I think we're going to get where we need to go. And it's kind of hard to put on a 3 to 5 year revenue projection, I think it's going to be epic. And I'm looking forward to enjoying the ride.
So coming on to the rapid fire. So I think I know the answer for this, but I'd still like to ask you. Business or teaching?
Both. In this game, you have to be the expert and you have to be the operator, and you don't get to be one or the other, although you need both hats.
Got it. Are you still hands-on?
I am, in a lower code way than most of the people that build for me. So I still do consulting on the side and I write code, but I have people that are much, much better at it than I am.
Speed or perfection?
Speed.
Team of averages or an expert high individual maintenance kind of a person, who takes a very big chunk of a salary, but he's an expert in pretty much whatever you need, or a team of averages?
We cannot have teams of averages in this game. So, but if they're a high maintenance person, they don't belong on our team. So individual expert.
Okay. Money or power?
Neither. I believe those are the wrong conceptualizations. If we sort of replace money with value and then power with something like meaningful influence, I think I would choose value if I had to choose. But I think balancing the two is important.
Got it. And this is more of a business question, which is execution of a plan or timing the market.
Timing in this game right now, timing. Yeah. Your plan is going to get punched right in the face.
Got it. Thank you so much, Greg, for your time. I had a lovely discussion. And can you tell us a bit about the course that is out there in AI Makerspace? That our listeners, if they're interested.
So our LLM Ops course launches Tuesday, the first cohort. On August 15th, we'll be opening up a second cohort because I believe this one will be filled up soon. But it's essentially a way to learn all the latest and greatest tools out there, LangChain, Llama Index, LangSmith. It's going to get you actually building a real product with us that we host on AWS, and you submit code to our GitHub, that's new in boot camps, anywhere. It's going to get you building a really dope project that you're excited about. And it's going to get you basically engaging with our community potentially each day of the week, if you have time in your schedule to do so. Check it out. We'll drop the link in the YouTube, in the YouTube box below, and you can check out what a week, typical week looks like. And, you know, I think we're so excited because this will be the 40 something, 50 something class I've ever put together. It's going to be the best one. It's going to be the absolute best one that we've ever done. So join us. It's going to be freaking amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. Definitely. Definitely. Even I'm going to check it out and,
yeah, check it out, Shubham. You better bring it with that application too, man.
For sure. So it's like, you know, because, you know, just teaching only the advanced people and only the advanced stuff, that is something that even I'm looking forward to. So like, all the best for this new course. And
thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Craig.
You bet. Thank you, Shubham, for having me.